Onesimus, we could say that he was a wanted man. A wanted man. You see, he was on the run. He had ran away from his master. He was an outlaw, we could say. He had fled from Philemon. He had fled to the city of Rome. And I'm sure that he was hoping that he would be able to hide among the many, many thousands of people in the city of Rome. Onesimus was a wanted man. I'm sure you've seen those posters with the picture of people and it says wanted. And of course, any of you who like to watch westerns, cowboy films, you'll have seen the posters and there's some outlaw who's wanted and the authorities are after him. Well, here we have Onesimus. He was a wanted man. You see, back in Bible times, back in Paul's day, slaves who ran away from their master could have been executed. The authorities were after them. Their owners would have been after them. They were wanted men. Onesimus was on the run. I wonder, are you on the run tonight? I wonder, is there someone in the meeting and you're running away from God? You're doing what Jonah did all those years ago. You remember that the Bible tells us in Jonah chapter 1 that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. But then Psalm 139 tells us that it's impossible to get away from God. It's impossible to flee from His presence. It's impossible to hide from the Lord. Psalm 139, whither shall I go from thy presence? Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? It's impossible to get away from the Master. It's impossible to hide from the Lord. How futile, how foolish it is to try to run from God, to hide from God. You remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Whenever they had sinned, they were ashamed. You remember what they did. Whenever they heard the voice of the Lord in the garden, in the cool of the evening, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. I wonder tonight, are you trying to hide from God? You're trying to hide from the Lord, just as Onesimus tried to hide among the many, many people in the great metropolis of Rome. Are you trying to hide from God tonight? Well, don't, if I can put it like this, don't hide from Him. Hide in Him. Remember we said that this morning. Don't hide from the Lord. Hide in Him. Hiding in Thee, Thou blessed Rock of Ages, I'm hiding in Thee. Here was Onesimus, a wanted man. I want you to notice where he was. Where he was. You see, he was in Rome. We've already mentioned that. He was in Rome, but the point that I want to make tonight is that the Lord reached him in Rome. The providence of God reached this runaway slave. There were thousands upon thousands of people in the city of Rome. And no doubt Onesimus thought when he reached Rome, oh, now I'm safe. Now I can hide. Now I won't be caught. But the Lord found him out. The Lord found him. And the providence of God reached him. And isn't it amazing that the providence of God brought Onesimus to the city of Rome just at the same time that the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome? And isn't it amazing how the providence of God brought together these two men? And through Paul and through the preaching of Paul, Onesimus came to Christ and was gloriously saved. Isn't it amazing that amid the thousands upon thousands who populated the city of Rome, that Paul and Onesimus were brought together? But you see, the Lord had it all planned. And you see, whenever the Lord goes after a soul, no one can stop him. Nothing can stop him. His providence will work in such a way that that soul is brought to Christ. That should be a great encouragement to you parents, you fathers and mothers in the meeting tonight, and your sons or your daughters are out on the mountains wild and bare, and they're far from the tender shepherd's care. That should be an encouragement to you. The providence of God can reach them. The sovereignty of God can bring your loved ones into contact with the gospel, and the sovereignty and the providence of Almighty God can bring them to the foot of the old rugged cross. You know, friends, the Lord has wonderful ways of working. The Lord, whenever he has a plan and a purpose, he does it perfectly. And it's just like a jigsaw puzzle, a great jigsaw puzzle. And he puts all the pieces together in order that a precious soul would be rescued from hell and from damnation. And mind you, whenever he's putting the jigsaw together, it can take quite a while. And sometimes it's hard to wait as the Lord puts this piece into the jigsaw puzzle and then another piece. And slowly but surely, the picture is being put together. It's all coming together. You know, that's just what it was like for Onesimus. The providence of God and the grace of God went after Onesimus and brought him into contact with the apostle. And this man was gloriously saved. Not only where he was, but notice who he was. He was a slave. Onesimus was a slave. He was the slave of Philemon. You know, friend, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, you are a slave too. Now, Philemon was a very gracious, loving, warm-hearted man. We know that from reading the chapter. But you see, the one that you serve tonight, your master tonight, is not like that. He's the opposite. He's the most evil, foul, cruel master that anyone could serve. Friend, tonight, if you know not Christ in a personal saving way, you are the slave of the devil. Now, you mightn't realize it tonight, but you do his bidding. And you're under his control. And you cannot free yourself. You cannot liberate yourself. Because you're his slave. And you will always be his slave. Until the grace of the Lord reaches you, until the saving grace of God in Christ reaches down to where you are and sets you free. Friend, tonight you have no power to set yourself free. You're a slave. Aye, there's many slaves in new buildings tonight. Some are slaves to alcohol. And my, the devil uses alcohol, and it's what he uses to control precious souls. And there's people in new buildings tonight, and they can't do without the bottle. They need the bottle of whiskey, the bottle of vodka. They can't do without it. They're a slave to it. Aye, there's other people tonight and they're a slave. They're a slave to drugs. They're a slave to immorality. I wonder what you're a slave to tonight. Maybe you're a slave to your pride. It's possible to be a slave to your pride. I'm too good to be saved. I'm too good to need to be saved. Maybe that's what you're saying tonight. You see, some people say, I'm too bad to be saved. But maybe you're saying tonight, I'm too good to be saved. I don't need to be saved. I'm respectable. I'm upright. I'm decent. I'm law-abiding. And maybe your attitude is, well, yes, others need to be saved. Yes, the drunkard who can't stay away from the off license, he needs to be saved. The man who stumbles out of Villa's bar on a Saturday night, oh yes, he needs to be saved. But you need to be saved too. And friend, you need to humble yourself. And you need to take your place prostrate before the Lord. You need to cry out like the publican of old, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then you'll be set free. But not until then. Where he was, who he was, you notice what he was. What he was. You see, Onesimus was a robber. You see, from reading the book of Philemon, we gather that he had robbed Philemon, his master. He was a thief. He was a robber. But you know, friend, tonight, you're a robber. Because as a sinner, you've robbed God. You've robbed God of his glory. You've robbed God of his time. You've robbed God of his reputation. Tonight, the reality is that you've robbed God. You're a thief. Just like Onesimus. Now, the wonderful message that comes from the book of Philemon is that Onesimus, though he was a slave, though he was a robber, he didn't stay that way. And Paul tells us in verse 11 that Onesimus was unprofitable, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. But then he says, but now profitable to thee and to me. You see, Onesimus literally means useful or profitable. There had been a stage whenever Onesimus was unprofitable, he wasn't useful. He was a rebel, he was a robber, he was a slave who had fled from his master. But you see, whenever he came to Christ, he became useful. And you see, that's what can happen to you if you'll only come to Christ. If you'll only recognize your need of being born again, you can be useful to the Lord. You don't have to always be a robber. Of course, we could mention tonight how another way in which people rob God. And this is the worst way. This is the greatest robbery of all. You see, because of your sins, you robbed God of his only begotten Son. That's the greatest robbery of all. That's the greatest theft of all. The Lord Jesus Christ, the darling of the Father's bosom, you robbed God of the most precious possession he had. And your sins brought him down into this sin-cursed, sin-ruined world. And your sins took the Lord Jesus Christ to that blood-stained cross at Calvary. Aye, you've robbed God. But yet the wonder of the gospel is that through his death and through his blood, you can be saved. You can be set free and you can be made useful. Onesimus was a wanted man. Let's move on to Philemon. We could say that he was a wronged man. A wronged man. You see, Onesimus had wronged Philemon. He had stolen from him. He had ran away from him. And you know, that reminds us tonight that we as fallen sinners have wronged the Lord. We have broken His laws. We have rejected Him. We have despised Him. We have rebelled against Him. Charles Wesley penned the words, and how true they are. Depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God His wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare? Now this is the verse that I really want you to grasp tonight. I have long withstood His grace, long provoked Him to His face, would not hearken to His calls, grieved Him by a thousand falls. Friend, tonight you've grieved the Lord by a thousand falls. If only you knew it tonight. If only the Holy Spirit would reveal to you the long list of your sins, the thoughts, the words, the actions that have been recorded in heaven against you. And the list is infinite. The psalmist spoke about innumerable iniquities. He said that the iniquities were more than he could bear. Such was the weight of them. Such was the heavy burden of his iniquities. Well, the reality of the situation tonight is that every man, every woman has wronged the Lord. God the Father has been wronged. He has been offended. Now remember what we said earlier. Slave owners had the right to execute the slave that had wronged them. They could take their lives. The death penalty could be passed upon the slave. And you know, Philemon could have had Onesimus executed, and he would have been perfectly just and perfectly right to have done so. But he didn't do that. You see, there was a happy ending. Onesimus was spared. Onesimus returned to Philemon. And thank God tonight, we have such a gracious, merciful, long-suffering God. We have such a wonderful God tonight, such a merciful, loving Heavenly Father tonight, that He is willing to spare the sinner who has wronged Him. And friend, He's willing to spare you tonight. But He didn't spare His only begotten Son. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Yes, Philemon was a wronged man. But then I want to finish tonight with Paul, who was a willing man. Paul, the willing man. Oh, there's a wonderful offer that Paul makes here to Philemon. Paul writing to Philemon. He says to Philemon, first of all, receive him. Receive Onesimus. You notice what it says there in verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Paul says, receive him. Philemon, yes, he has wronged you. Yes, he's guilty. But receive him for my sake. And you know, when it says receive him, it literally means receive him into the family. That's what it literally means in the original. Paul is really saying to Philemon, Philemon, I want you to receive Onesimus into your family circle. You know, isn't it a wonderful thought tonight just to think that someone who has rebelled against God and someone who has wronged God can be received into God's family? And friend, tonight you can be received into God's family. The Lord is willing to adopt you into His family. You can become a part of the great family of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought tonight? And you know, there's one at God's right hand tonight who says to God the Father, receive him. The Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for you tonight. He prays for you. He pleads for you at the Father's right hand. And he pleads for you to be spared. And he pleads for God the Father to receive you into his family. And it's all because of his sake. It's all for his sake. Thank God tonight you can be received into the family of God. But you've got to receive him. See, that's the condition. Yes, God is willing to do the receiving. He's willing to receive you. But you've also got to do receive. You've got to do the receiving as well. You remember John 1 and 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I wonder tonight, are you willing to receive Christ? If you're willing to receive him, then he will receive you. Now, Paul wasn't ignoring the crimes that Onesimus had committed. And neither tonight does the Lord Jesus Christ ignore the crimes that you have committed. The Lord Jesus Christ does not ignore the sin that you have been guilty of. He doesn't sweep it under the carpet. But you see, he pleads that the wrong that Onesimus has committed would be put to his account. I want you to notice that. That brings me on to the next point. Paul not only says receive him, but he says release him. Release him. He says in verse 18 to Philemon, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Philemon, I'm not trying to undermine and understate what Onesimus has been guilty of. But I want you to put it to mine account, to my account. I want you to absolve him. I want you to forgive him for my sake. Do it for me, Philemon. If for no other reason, but for me and the relationship that we have, the one with the other, the friendship and the fellowship that we enjoy one with another, Philemon, forgive him for my sake. Here's the great transaction that we referred to earlier. You remember we sung the hymn, 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. Well, you see, Paul is saying to Philemon, Philemon, I want you to take the wrong that Onesimus has been guilty of, and I want you to transfer it to my account. Transfer it as if it was me who had wronged you. A great transfer, a great transaction. You see, Paul is saying, I'll pay the debt. That's what he actually says in verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. I will repay it. Paul's willing to pay the debt, whatever Onesimus owes to Philemon. Paul is a willing man. He's willing to pay this debt. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who pays the debt. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the hymn writer said? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace the whole day long. For Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, there's been a great transaction. There was a great transaction that took place 2,000 years ago at the cross of Calvary. You see, God the Father took the sins of the world and laid them on Christ. And then he took Christ's righteousness And he transferred that perfect, spotless righteousness to those who would trust in him. And there's a great transaction that's taken place. And friend, tonight, if you will only receive Christ, if you'll only turn in repentance and faith to the Savior, the great debt will be paid. Your sins will be removed from your account. And they'll be placed in his account and written over. That account will be the words paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a wonderful thought. The payment of the debt. We've heard much recently about the debt in countries in the European Union, Greece and Ireland and Portugal. We've heard talk about bailouts. We've heard that word bailout, haven't we? Well, I want to tell you, and this is something, don't misunderstand me. I say this reverently tonight. At the cross of Calvary, by the shedding of the precious blood of Christ, the greatest bailout ever took place. At the cross, you have the greatest bailout of all. You see, those who trust in Christ, those in this meeting tonight who are depending on the blood, you have been bailed out. The debt has been fully paid. I will cast in the depths of the fathomless sea all thy sins and transgressions, whatever they be, though they mount up to heaven, though they sink down to hell. They shall fall in the depths, and above them shall swell all the waves of my mercy, so boundless and free. I will cast all your sins in the depths of the sea. That's the promise of God to you tonight. He's going to cast all your sins in the depths of the sea. And you know what? This morning, we spoke to the children in the Sunday school about the depths of the sea. And do you know the deepest point in the sea is almost 7 miles deep? It's called the Marianas Trench in the Pacific Ocean. It's hard to take in 7 miles deep. That's probably from here to Ballymagory or Strabán nearly. Oh, that's where the Lord will cast your sins tonight. But oh, you've got to come to him tonight.